Hey, back to that. Hey, good morning. Why does it look so dark? It's just YouTube. Good morning. Hey, we're back to the 5 a.m. hour on, even though it's on a holiday, it's Monday. This is the 5 a.m. Master Scrum Show. It's 5:58 in the morning, and today is Memorial Day here in the States. It's a holiday. But you know what? I wanted to get up, be out there, and get pumped up and do some stuff. It's time to get back to work, right? No, I've been working. I've been working hard. Just but you gotta get the energy to do stuff and things you want to do and how do you do it, right? So again, I apologize for the sound quality. This is our 308th episode. I still gotta find my little batteries to go in the microphone so that I replace them and see if that helps the ability of the microphone on the thing to go into the computer. I think that's the problem. We'll see. I have no idea though. But hey, good morning. 5 a.m. Master Scrum. We are here. Yes, we are. Amir, right? How you doing, Amir? I was watching a lot of stuff. Why? Someone was asking me the other day, and this is actually not on my book that I wanted to talk about today. I want to talk about two things today. I'm going to talk about dependencies in Scrum, because we do geek out a little bit here. And I want to talk about a podcast about teams of 30 people. It was an interesting podcast. You listen to stuff that sometimes has specific things and doesn't have specific things. As my family has been complaining that you're on the computer a lot, playing on the computer, so but I'm not playing. See, there's a big difference between playing on the computer and working on the computer. And in this mode of what's going on, like the other day, I'm supposed to do a coaching session, didn't happen, but that's okay. Stuff happens. I don't like, oh my God, you didn't make it. Blah, blah, blah. It's up to them, right? Can't coach people. But there's always stuff that happens. But I got an interview in, which I gotta decompose today, and it takes a while to do the interviews and the video editing. So, but the guy asked me, he says, well, why 5 a.m.? Why do you pick 5 a.m. in the morning? One, I said, I deal with a lot of people in India and overseas. I wanted to have this at a point where I think is kind of quasi lunch after lunch, somewhere in there for a lot of people in India. I wanted to do the show. Plus, overseas, everybody's either in their evening already, wherever it is, and I wanted to capture that part. Plus, it's on YouTube, so it's there forever. It doesn't really matter, right? Some people are up, some people are not. And in the real world, when we had to go to commute and do all this stuff here on the East Coast, I'm telling you, 5 a.m., people are getting up. They're looking, listening to podcasts. I wanted to be the one that popped up on their screen. But also, why? I found early in the process that just doing the live broadcast is so much easier than recording it, editing, put it up on screen. Live broadcast, boom, done. It's out. It's in the can. It's out there for the world to see. The other thing was my family wasn't awake at 5 a.m. Then my kids started waking me up at 5 a.m. So I got to be up before them. But one of the keys about doing this is having the energy and the drive to go do stuff. I've already listened to two podcasts. I think Cardone had a thing on there. He's talking about sales and getting out after coronavirus. And I agree with him totally. He's got a lot of freaking energy. I'm sorry. Watch him. It's like, whoa, dude's got energy. But just getting my stuff done, looking at what's in the world, what's going overseas. I was watching Jem's video just a second ago. I'm gonna text him back on that one. He just posted that up over in the UK, so he's already, I think they're 6 hours different from us. And so I've already got stuff going on in the day. I already got ideas. My brain's flowing way before I even go into the office, right? So if this wasn't a holiday, normal day, it's 5 a.m. in the morning. I've already watched two or three podcasts. I'm looking to see what people are saying about the agile world in general, the world in general, what's going on, what's new. And then I use that information and I share that with my teams. When I'm doing daily scrums, when I'm coaching people, I want to know what's going on. So anyway, that's kind of crazy. That's off the topic. Nothing what we want to do. It's a holiday, and I just want to say, I want to wish you all the best of luck of getting out there and doing stuff and prepping for those in the coronavirus. It's coming to an end, like I've been saying. People are getting ready to go out. They're going to get back to work. There is talk about a lot of people going out. There's going to be a lot of jobs out there. Get stuff done. You know, you're going to run out of time. Oh, we got all this time. No, you don't have all this time. It's time to get back if you haven't gotten back. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about Scrum and Agile. And here at the 5 a.m. Master Scrum Show, we talked about Scrum and Agile in a practical and tactical way so you can get home to your family. One day we will get back to normal. And we're also in our little caves. And how do you manage this stuff, right? And how do you get out? How do you do stuff? And people are willing to work 24 hours. I mean, I even heard one company, to be honest with you, they monitor their employees. And this is why I say recruitment's going to go crazy. And then if you're not on your computer for 40 minutes, their boss sends you an email. They actually monitored that. Can you believe that in this world? It says you're not going to keep employees that long. But they think they can, right? And I think that's the way they manage is if they monitor you, that's how the proper management is. And the wild thing is that they think they're agile. Really? I just laughed. I said, you're so full of it. But they do Scrum. They do ceremonies, but yet they monitor people. And if you're offline for more than 40 minutes and you're not exactly on the computer typing, they write you an email to say, where you been? Yeah, no. Anyway. All right. So Scrum. Dependencies. You know, they say the Scrum Master's job is to help eliminate fix barriers or blockers or impediments and get them out of the way. How about before they happen? Okay. My many years of project management and program management stuff, I fixed stuff before it ever happened. So it never occurred. I didn't do the way some people did it. And I did it a different way. I knew when things were needed. I would go to those places when I knew stuff was going to be needed in my team. And I confirmed and made sure that they were going to happen. And if they weren't going to happen, I helped those groups get what they needed. So my team always had their stuff. So there's a big thing where, oh, we as Scrum Masters, we can't do anything because we don't know what's wrong. Yes, you do. If you pay attention, you do. If you pay attention to the backlog and you ask the questions why they're with the backlog, say, so is there any dependencies to that story? No, we don't have any. Oh, yeah, we're going to need this from so. Really? Do we have it connected? Have I gone out? You know, is anybody going out to make sure it's going to be done? Well, no, we just assume they're going to be done just like we get our stuff. Are we doing 100% every time? Well, maybe not. We're doing 80%. Well, how do you know that last 20% of not being done is the one we need for this sprint that's not getting done by the other team? You don't, right? Unless you go out there and do it. So what I would encourage Scrum Masters, you know, part of sprint planning, before sprint planning, when you identify this stuff, you know, you need to reach out before that sprint planning session happens and make sure all those dependencies are in place and they get done before your team takes up those things in the sprint. Because if you did the grooming right or the refinement right before sprint planning, then you're going to have identified any dependencies during that period of time. You should be out there a Scrum Master. Oh, I got all these dependencies for these stories in the next sprint. My job is to go out there and make sure those dependencies get done so my team can perform before the problem occurs. How about that? They don't teach you that one in the book, do they? That is what a Scrum Master is supposed to do. Not only wait to when the problem occurs, but go out there before the problem occurs. Make sense? There you go. I've seen that so many times where they, oh, we didn't get our stuff. Well, whose job is it? Well, Scrum Master's job. Did the Scrum Master go out and talk to them? Well, no, I just sent an email out to everybody and their brother. Who the hell reads emails to everybody and their brother? Nobody. You need to go out there and prep that. Maybe that's a little project, but that was a good project manager. But anyway, but that's how you do it. You got there before the sprint. Go out there from the information you got refinement. You look at all the dependencies. You take that information and you go pastor all the teams that your team needs stuff done by. Don't wait for it to happen. Then you lost. You already lost because it ain't going to get done. So that's what I want to talk about from a dependency perspective. Go out there before sprint planning and as a Scrum Master, go out there and make sure those dependencies are done before your team needs them, not after you already started your sprint. At that time, it's too late, and the probability of you success is very low. Makes sense? Cool. It's just something different. It's not in the book. I don't think that's in any book out there anywhere. So, and I don't know how good the sound is because I'm using the computer sound versus a microphone. Okay. So the other day I was listening to a podcast. As you can tell, a few podcasts. And it was an interesting podcast. And they were talking about new businesses, starting and being an entrepreneur and all that kind of stuff. And the study was saying that a new company works well with, you know, under 30 people, where you have the CEO, they're connected to all 30 people, but the magic number was 30 people. What's magic about 30 people? I don't know. But it's the point where they can manage their corporation, have multiple companies going on, multiple things going on. They're really directed to the founder of the company, the principles, what we're doing, the why, the vision, all that kind of stuff. They see it every day. Past the 30 people, then you need to hire people and have people work for you to help manage it. Otherwise, there's chaos and you don't get what you wanted, which is really interesting. So if you have more than 30 people and you're the central figure or one of the central figures, you're the servant leader. There's a big difference there, right? You're the servant leader. You're serving them, leading them, helping them with vision, helping them drive, knowing what needs to be done, right? So servant leader, remember servant leader, 30 people. So everyone, you know, is familiar with the leader, you know, let me see. They said after the 30 people, it's failure time. So you have one leader and you have 30 people, you're failing. So let me ask you, this is what you're not coming up. You never know I'm going to ask you this question. So how many people can the Scrum Master be the servant leader for? I just told you, if you're running a company and you're a CEO and you got a new business, and once you go past 30 people, it doesn't quite work. Same with the Scrum Master. You are the servant leader. You're helping them, giving guidance and vision and things like that, right? So the magic number is 30 people. So if you get these companies, you could do 5 teams. You can do this, blah, 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 right? It doesn't work. It doesn't work, right? So let's take 30 teams. You have 9 people on it. Let's say you got 9 people on a team. I have teams that have more than 9 people. And it's something I try to espouse, and I'm so amazing. All these MBAs and all these financial high-level MBA people who are management don't know this stuff, but they teach it. I don't know. They must have been drinking the entire time they were in college because this is what they talk about in those MBA classes. So if 9 people a team, the maximum number of teams you could probably manage is 3. So when I hear people being Scrum Master or leading more than 3 teams, I go, you can't do it. You're going to fail. You can't be a good servant leader to those teams. I suggest multiple phases, maximum amount of 3. But, you know, I know a lot of teams that have more than 9 people. Optimum, it shouldn't be 9 people. And there's these, you know, numbers and how many of them the brain can handle. But the magic number 3. So if you have a company that wants you to do more than 3 teams, you got to look at how many people on the team. The magic number is 30. You can't help more than 30 people. Oh, Greg said 3 teams. Yeah, your teams are freaking 15 people on a team. That's 30 in 2 teams. You can't do 3 teams. It doesn't work. You can't serve them and help guide them and get the information they need to get where they need to be. So the magic number is 30 people. Don't ever go above it because you're going to fail. And the guy said in the podcast, failure. It was he was really adamant about it. Any company that has more than 30 people and you're still the CEO managing something more than 30 people, you will fail. It will fall apart. People will lose vision. People will lose enthusiasm. They won't work anymore. It's just going to fail because you can't nurture them. You can't serve them as a leader. You can't do it. It's just not done. That's why they say in schools, no more than 30 kids in a class. You can't serve them If there's more than 30 people, you will fail. Business, life, whatever, right? You need other people to help you to get there. So we're at the 15-minute mark. I just want to leave you with that. Two things, you know. Go out there, hit the dependencies before your sprint planning session as Scrum Masters. And don't be a Scrum Master. Don't be the servant leader for more than 30 people. Once you pass that 30 people barrier, you will start failing as a Scrum Master. Okay? That's why I don't coach a lot of people at a time. I only coach so many at a time. Anyway, have a great day. Enjoy. It's a holiday. I wish all those families had family members die in the past who have served and everything that have some reflection time and think about what those people died for and why, to give you an opportunity to grow and survive and be prosperous. All right. Thumbs up. Please give us a thumbs up. Ring the bell so you can get notices when we do videos. I don't know what we're going to do today. I had some fun with the kids yesterday, but I wish you all well and a scaled agile framework holiday weekend for those safe people out there. Anyway, take care. See ya. Bye.